Thank you, Mr. Griffith. Happy Sabbath, brethren. Matthew chapter 5 is commonly called the Beatitudes. It starts with blessed are, and then followed by the things Christians should do or be in order to be considered blessed. The first item mentioned in the Beatitudes is in verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In the New Testament, the word comes from the Greek word tapenos, and its variants tapeno, tapenomai, tapenoporos. It means low, to make low, or lowliness of mind. The word tapeno literally means to level a mountain or a hill. So humble people are those people with no hills sticking up. Luke 3, 4 to 6 describes John the Baptist's mission. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill brought low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. John's mission was to preach the gospel of repentance, and this means humbling before God, so the people could be ready for salvation. We normally associate the scriptures to the millennium, when the geography of the earth would be changed, but the physical is usually just the type of the spiritual. So God will also fill our valleys and flatten our mountains or hills. When he comes, he will heal man's broken and empty heart, the valleys, and at the same time, flatten man's mountain of pride, so we can be ready for God. And that was John the Baptist's mission, and also our mission today. Matthew 18, verse 3 to 4, it says, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. The little child here is not just a term of endearment, it's a description of what we ought to become like. So, who needs humility? The apostles and the early disciples certainly needed humility. That's why Christ taught them in Matthew 5 to be poor in spirit. The apostle Peter had to learn to be humble also by being humbled by Christ and at one time by the apostle Paul. Paul also had to learn to be humble. He apologized to the people for calling the high priest Ananias whitewash wall. It's in Acts 23, verse 1 to 5. And I'll read verse 4. And those that stood by said, do you rail against the high priest of God? And Paul said, I was not conscious, brethren, that he was high priest. For it is written, you shall not speak evil of the ruler of thy people. Even Moses, the humblest or the most humble man on earth during his time, had to be humbled by God when he did not acknowledge God's power. So who needs humility? Everyone needs humility. Another point, true humility comes from God and it is a conviction of sin. Conviction of sin and awareness of our low estate before God is necessary before God can do useful things through us. To be poor in spirit is the first prerequisite for entry into the kingdom of God. And every citizen of God's kingdom is poor in spirit. Even the holy angels are poor in spirit. We learned maybe 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago how even the archangel Michael, when contending with Satan on what to do with Moses' body, did not bring railing accusation against the devil. Michael was humble and did not give attention to himself, but acknowledged God by saying only, "The Lord rebuke you." That's in Jude 9. And angels also don't allow themselves to be worshipped. Humility also involves a realistic evaluation of ourselves. As one writer astutely said, humility is being weak and pitiful and knowing it. Pride, on the other hand, is also being weak and pitiful but believing otherwise. The wisest American of his day, Benjamin Franklin, said in his autobiography, I'll quote, "In reality, there is perhaps no one of our natural passions so hard to subdue as pride. Disguise it, struggle with it, beat it down, stifle it, mortify it as much as one pleases, it is still alive and will every now and then peep out and show itself. For even if I could conceive that I had completely overcome it," he said, "I should probably be proud of my humility." So Paul admonishes us in Romans 12 verse 3, "To every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." Sometimes, because we know the truth about the Sabbath, the holidays, tithing, millennial reign of Christ, we may sometimes feel superior to others. But even if we know this and do these things, Christ said we are still unprofitable servants, as stated in Luke 17 verse 10. "So likewise you, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded you," we're going to say this, "we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do." Another point, humility is not destructive. True humility is not an abject, groveling, self-despising spirit, but it is a right estimate of ourselves as God sees us. True humility doesn't mean that we will dress shabbily to draw attention to ourselves or brag about how little we spent on our wardrobe or speak about how unqualified we are or anything to bring attention to ourselves. Again, Benjamin Franklin admitted to his friends this proclivity of human nature. Even though how hard he tried to be humble, he said, all he could do was just show false pretense of humility. That's what he said. Luke 18 verse 12 talks about a Pharisee who can handle much pain and hunger in order to be righteous in his own way. He says, "I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess." I really admire this guy's ability to take punishment, because fasting for me, even during the Day of Atonement, is painful because I am a person who likes to eat. But this guy here fasted twice a week, but to no avail, because this man lacks humility. The other guy, the publican, a despised person, and considered traitor by most Jews because they work for the Romans to get taxes. He was the one who went home justified because he acknowledged his sinfulness before God. Another point, humility is being happy to play second fiddle. Leonard Bernstein, a famous orchestra conductor, was once asked by an admirer, Mr. Bernstein, what is the most difficult instrument to play? His answer was, second fiddle. I can get plenty of first violinists, second flute. First violinist, but to find one who plays second violin with enthusiasm, or second French horn, or second flute, now that's a problem. And if no one plays the second, we have no harmony. Barnabas was a person who did not mind playing second fiddle. It was Barnabas who introduced Paul to the leadership of the church when Paul was not trusted by many Christians because of his persecution of the brethren. That's in Acts 9, verse 27. And during the early years when Barnabas and Paul traveled together, Barnabas' name was often mentioned first, indicating his preeminence. But later on, Paul eclipsed Barnabas. You can read that in Acts 13, verse 43, 15, verse 35, when Paul's name was mostly mentioned first. But Barnabas was a team player. He did not show jealousy towards Paul. But sadly today, humility seems absent in society. So what are the benefits of humility? God hears us whenever we are humble. In 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. God also saves the humble. In Job 22, verse 29, when men are cast down, then you shall say there is lifting up, and he shall save the humble person. God also revives us when we are humble. Isaiah 57, verse 15, for thus says the high and the lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy places with him also that is of contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. And last scripture, Isaiah 66, verse 2, for all those things has my hand made, and all those things have been, said the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of contrite spirit and trembles at my word. So brethren, there will never be a time when we don't need humility.